Dirt and Sprague.
The responsibility we have over the program that we have built, but how this team can actually move it forward. And maybe more importantly, how this team can fully express itself over the course of the next 6 months. My hope would be that the program with every year becomes a little more of a thorn in the side to other SEC fan bases.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Marsh squids it to third. Muncy in the glove, and Crawford's caught between third and home. The throw to Rushing. He runs down the line, pumps a throw, gives it to Betts. Crawford is tagged. Runner between second and third. Realmuto. He's caught up the bag. He's out at second, and the ball game is over.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Okay.
Hello, happy hump day.
What is happening here?
How we doing?
I wasn't expecting that right out of the gate.
Well, you know. They never are.
They come, you know, sometimes, boop, oh, what was that? Hey, what's going on back there? Oh, geez.
Not today.
Bring gas.
Hopefully not today. What's happening, everybody?
Happy one-year anniversary to the fan being on the FM dial.
Look at us. 1 year down.
Right.
Decades to go.
It's kind of crazy that was a year ago, and also only a year ago.
Only a year ago. It feels like
it was yesterday, but also 2-3 years ago.
I have that so many times with the kid, too, where you're like, how is it? How are we only two? But oh my God, the two went so fast.
Yeah.
It's really weird how life works that way. It does feel like it was 5 years ago and 5 weeks ago simultaneously. Mm-hmm. But it's been a year. We're on FM. Still going strong.
We're still here.
We're still staying.
I mean, I don't know how much longer, but right. We're still here.
You never know. In the modern world of economics, you never know, but you keep showing up doing the job, baby.
I saw a lot of people, I guess, at Fox were gloating about the ESPN layoffs.
Ooh.
And I thought it was a good point. It's like
turf wars, huh?
I have media members in this market. I don't really know all of them, but I have ones that I'm not very fond of.
Sure.
I haven't gloated when they've lost their gigs publicly.
No. Privately?
Have I high-stepped Deion Sanders privately?
Ooh.
I mean,
ooh, doing a Euro step,
kind of brought
in your
that
house
on themselves, yeah. I would argue. But I thought it was a good point to like just say, yeah, you probably shouldn't be publicly gloating because at any given moment, any of us.
I also would say to Fox, like, I get wanting to gloat in the idea of being fired, but also you're still irrelevant.
FS1 is indeed
you
pretty
are
irrelevant.
Pretty irrelevant.
I don't watch FS1
unless there's a sporting event.
Unless I know there's a sporting event that I need have to watch.
That your team's playing or there's a game on. You're like, I got to check that out. It very rarely. I will never go to FS1. And neither will I mean, outside of watching our guy Nick Krupke do a little sports hit occasionally on KPTV, mm-hmm. I'm not going to Fox that often either. The actual Fox, which is not a sports-related channel. It's just they are second fiddle. They will always be second fiddle, and that feels like...
What are you talking about here?
Fox and FS1. Both. I went both. Fox and FS1. How often do you watch Fox 12 outside of a sporting event?
Every day I catch the news reports.
That's what I'm saying. I'll see our guy Krupke from time to time with a sports snort, and then other than that, I'm not going to Fox. It doesn't happen. I'm not watching Family Feud.
Do you go to other channels? I'm confused.
No, not really. Outside of sporting events, no. That's about all I got. And that tells me if I'm not even watching FS1 for non-sporting event things and just shows, you're pretty irrelevant.
You know, yesterday I asked if a sideline reporter at the very debut of themselves did the end of quarter interview and just asked the coach hot dog or corn dog.
Yes.
To see which one they pick instead of like, hey, what happened in the first quarter there? I wonder if one of our local news channels, if one day they just said like, what if we just did the first 20 minutes on nothing but super cool positive news?
Just positive, uplifting. Yeah. Look what this guy did in the community.
Yeah, not
these
coming
people
up
got
next,
fed.
A robbery in Woodburn. Right. A massive forest fire in Central Oregon. There is haze in your air. Indeed, that is what it is. It's record hot. The economy sucks. Like, what if you flipped it? Local woman finds injured squirrel.
And saves it.
Gives it mouth to mouth. Nurses it back to health and has freed it.
Mouth to mouth with the squirrel would be pretty wild.
That's pretty awful, actually. When you do the chest compressions, you're just doing the finger compressions.
Those are tiny little bumps, man. I'd be worried about breaking a rib cage there, man. You got to be gentle with a little squirrel.
Local Girl Scout breaks record sales nationally, and it's in Clackamas.
Hey, look at us. All right.
You know, what if you just did that?
Call it the happy hour.
Yeah.
1 hour of
nothing
but happy news.
Opening.
And then the second hour, we can get to international politics and war criminals and, you know, prices.
Coming up next, what Tina Kotek has to say. Coming up next, Donald Trump made a speech.
And then we'll get to this, the county update on the arena funding. All that can be saved for hour number two, okay? Hour number one, it's going to be nothing but positive news. Local radio host finds a quail and nurses it back to life via the Bird Alliance.
I don't know how the
you know, yeah, we found a bird out there. We felt like saving it. Needed saving.
I was just out there. I would argue you should go out there. It's really cool. There's some positive stories. I don't know how the rankings work in our market of this TV stations. I don't follow
either.
That business.
Yeah, I don't either.
Whoever is in, well, we got 12, 8, 2, and 6.
Yes.
Whoever is the fourth in that fiddle.
Fourth place.
I think they should say, what can we do?
To cut through.
To cut through.
How do we climb up the rankings here?
And then do, like, you know, the whole commercial thing where you have your top news anchor be like, we promise to be positive to start everything.
Nothing but happy, uplifting news.
Are you tired of being depressed?
I think we've just came up with a brilliant strategy for a
local
news channel.
I mean, nobody does.
I think we should. There's got to be enough positive local stories out there that you could fill an hour.
Like,
if you mix in the weather and, like, traffic.
Oh, you got to do the weather traffic.
Those are normal updates the day-to-day people are going to need.
Yeah.
Outside, like, you should have enough uplifting news to find an hour of content.
Right.
Even if it's like a 10-minute sit-down interview with somebody who was one of the positive uplifting stories. This lady that saved the squirrel, come in studio. Let's get 15 minutes with you. Bring the squirrel with you.
Well, and they got these Jefferson County fires. Like, even just going live to a fire and getting the firemen on, you're like, oh, God, more forest fire news is terrible.
Yeah.
And they get on, like, what'd you have for lunch? I actually had a killer sandwich. My wife packed it for me.
It was
it's
great.
Got me through my day.
Somebody delivered some Jimmy John's, and it was fantastic. Man, we got to eat sandwiches out here.
Something like that. Instead of just focusing on everything negative entirely.
That's pretty down. Pretty depressing news right now. I got a trip coming up to Sun River in a few weeks, and I'm like, are we going to be able to go outside? Are we going to, you know.
It's going to be terrible.
Is breathing the air possible? Is that allowable? Am I going
to. Well, we were going to go to Hawaii this year, mm-hmm. and then we looked at the prices of Hawaii, and we're like, that Iran conflict has changed a lot of numbers.
Things are a little spendy.
So we decided to, like, stay on the mainland.
Yeah.
And I've never been
Stateside.
To San Diego. I've been to L.A. a bunch of times. I've never been to San Diego. And I threw it out there. I also threw Chicago out. I was kind of...
Ooh, Chicago would have been fun. Have you ever been to Chicago before?
I've never been to Chicago.
Chicago's a fun town.
Always wanted to go to Chicago.
Go to a Cubs game, check it out, do some food stuff. Yeah, Chicago's a badass city.
But the family decided we got to go to San Diego. We got to do a day at Disneyland. And so we're still booking some stuff. But, like, I have been taking into account for 2 months the idea that Southern California... In August.
Yeah, probably not good.
Well, I mean, there's the real possibility. And that's what sucks, I think, is about, like, if you're booking any getaway, local, or you fly somewhere, are you not taking into consideration the patterns of what we've seen the last, like, 5 to 10 years?
The last time we went to Sun River in August, I'm pretty sure we stayed for 3 days, and then we had 3 more days on the trip, and we left.
See, that's why I'm surprised you chose Sun River again.
I don't know. Yeah.
There's
and
fires
that was
right
even
now.
A part of the conversation of, like, how do we think the weather's going to be? And it was like, well, we had something else, and we had another trip in June or a weekend thing that we were doing, and I'm like, well, then we take time off for the 4th of July, and I wanted to wait longer until, because it'll be the last vacation until the kiddo comes, so I wanted it as close to that as possible.
Yeah,
but yeah, in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, the weather's probably going to be pretty brutal. We're
but
probably
going to
be dealing with smoke.
It's a fire.
But that's the weather that you can't go outside.
I don't view that as weather.
I do. Because
I view that as like circumstance. I don't know how to explain it. Like a phenomenon.
That's fair. But I view it as like it's going to be hot as balls today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to want to go outside when it's 100 degrees? Probably not. But you will. You know, we'll all dabble here or there. But I'm affected by going outside.
Sure.
And that's the case in Sun River. I can't go outside if I can't breathe the air.
Well, the air part is what sucks there because the weather is probably going to be 95 degrees and sunny.
I think it's going to be perfect. It's usually mid to upper 80s. It never gets too hot over there, but if you can't breathe in the air, it kind of defeats the purpose.
And that's what blows. So I was a little surprised when you said you're going to Sun River. I'm like,
well, maybe we're not going to Sun River. TBD on that one, man. If we find out that the 5 days we're supposed to be there and you can't be outside, there's not really a point in going to Sun
Where
River.
Where are you going, Dirt? Timothy Lake.
Now we're just going to have a week-long staycation. How about that? We're not going to go anywhere else.
Save a lot more money
off.
That way.
Save some cash and we'll just,
Not going to act like I haven't thought about it.
I will say the last time we had to leave our trip early, I'm pretty sure the place gave us like a comp back. Like we were like, what are we gonna do here? And they're
right,
like, yeah, we get
outside.
It. And they gave us a 3-day comp for another stay at some point in Sun River.
You know, good news. Another thing you could have passed in good news. I legitimately have not laughed out loud about something in quite some time the way I did yesterday when I saw a photo of Chip Kelly.
That was solid.
In a hard hat, yeah, and a vest.
And a safety vest.
Safety vest.
Standing to a group of microphones looking like, how did I get here in my life?
Ryan Field in Northwestern. It is a very unique, like, how often do college state places build new stadiums?
New stadiums?
Yeah, brand new.
It is
as opposed
very
to
rare.
Renovating.
Isn't
something
UCLA kicking around the idea of doing this? They're tired of
They've
going
always
out to the road.
Thought
they
about
would
it,
like
but I don't...
some. There are those that would like something on campus or very near campus, yeah, not the.
Because they're going to play in SoFi 2 years, aren't they?
That is a rumor. I don't know if that's actually
that's
been
not confirmed.
I think there's a threat of them backing out
the
of their
Olympics.
Lease.
Aren't they doing something about the Olympics? So they're like, they it might have
be.
To play a game or two at SoFi?
Could be. And maybe the Trojans, too, because I'm
I think
assuming
it's the Trojans.
Coliseum will be used for the Olympic ceremony.
Absolutely.
In Vegas. You can imagine, right?
Well, you better renovate that thing.
Last one I could think of
That'll be the track and field that they use
it's
there.
It's an old dump.
Yeah.
I hate to say that. It's an old dump.
It's an absolute
dump. It was crappy. I was so underwhelmed when I went there.
I remember I think Baylor Stadium is somewhat new. Like, I remember there being a thing when they opened their new stadium and the fans getting all excited. But outside of that, there's nothing. Like,
you
a lot of
additions.
Places do. Yeah, additions happen. The Huskies redid their stadium. Reser's been redone.
Yeah, that's one.
Penn
Husky Stadium.
But it's the same. Technically, it's the same stadium.
Mm.
It's much different. It's a massive renovation, but it's not a fully rebuilt stadium. Did
Are
they
you
tear
sure
the entire
that?
Thing down?
Reser? Well, they did.
No, Husky Stadium.
Oh, Husky?
I don't think they. Maybe they did. I know they dug deeper to put more seats closer down.
When we were at Husky Stadium, it looked nothing like.
That
old
is very
Husky
true.
Stadium.
It definitely doesn't look
it's
anything like it.
It's on the same plot of land, but outside of that, I don't know how much is still the same.
Like, remember the historic hangover part that they had?
Yes.
That's not there.
Because did they play one full season at Lumen?
I can't remember if it was one or two.
Dude, I feel like that was. I feel like that's a new stadium.
They entirely demolished the lower bowl,
uh-huh,
and the south side stands is what they did.
So what part did they keep?
Because
again, being in it, it doesn't look or feel
no, it doesn't
anything
look
like
at all.
One.
Yeah, does not look anything like it. I want to say the area by the water that doesn't have that big of a stand, wasn't that always kind of the way it was? But I can't remember.
That was where the bleachers and the scoreboard is.
Yeah, and those are still bleachers and scoreboard. I don't know if they did
so.
New bleachers and scoreboard.
They probably
there.
Couldn't do too much to that because they're right at the water.
But that's as close as you could get.
I think that is as close as you can get. Yeah.
Not fully new, but about 90% new.
I mean, Reser, they did in two parts, but
that's... I mean, it was a pretty gapped out two parts. It was like early 2000s and 2024, 2025.
But that was funny looking at those pictures yesterday of like, this looks like a Premier League stadium, and it's Northwestern football that nobody really cares about in Chicago.
Well, maybe they'll be good.
Maybe you never know. They got, you know, new coach. We'll see how it goes for them.
So I tweeted this out with the show page. I was just having fun post-show. We taped an interview, and so I had time to kill, and I saw the photo, and I thought, just imagine me telling Dirt in 2010, showing him this photo. I'm like, this is that guy's future.
Yeah.
First of all, he'd never believe me.
No.
Like,
no.
Not a chance.
No.
He's going to be at Oregon. What are you talking about, you idiot?
If you added the fact that he's going to beat my team in a semifinal to win a national championship, too, that would have been a nice cherry on top.
Yeah, and that was a lot. I think people caught wind of that post, and so there's like non-people that are from Portland that caught it and was like, oh, what? Like winning a natty?
I just won a national championship.
I mean, his offense that year actually kind of sucked. They just got hot and won the title, and he was the OC.
He did win a championship.
I know, but are we like acting like he was the... the mover and shaker of that whole thing?
I don't think we are, but maybe Ohio State fan is. I can't speak for them. They don't want to give their own coach credit, so maybe they give it to the offensive coordinator for his 1 year there. Ironically, after they couldn't score a touchdown against Michigan, they all wanted him gone.
This is what I'm saying. Go back and ask
later,
them about the Michigan game. I think they absolutely wanted him fired. Remember, I think we talked about where they fire Ryan Day before the playoff.
Yes, if they were going to lose their first playoff game, that was if they were going to lose to Tennessee at home, that was the conversation. They're all gone. They're cleaning house.
Well, and then that naturally drifted into Chip, then they get hot, they win, right? They blow out Oregon and go on and win the national championship. And then he goes to the Raider thing and he signs the biggest contract for an OC in the NFL, and that's an abject disaster.
Yes.
Abject disaster in Philly, San Francisco.
Yeah.
And now he's the OC at Northwestern.
Come on down. They're coming to Oregon on Halloween. I believe it's Halloween night this year.
So that was another one that I scrolled through to read some of the comments, and there is, I think, a random Northwestern person. He's like, we'll be talking about this when we smack that ass this year. just went like,
I'd sit this one out. Northwestern, you know.
Halloween again, night down at Autzen.
FS1 talking trash to ESPN. Let's know our role in life here, okay? Academics, by all means, take your shots. Journalism program, by all means, take your shots. Yeah. Football,
that's going to be.
I'd go ahead and sit that
Big
one
Ten
out.
Big 10 after dark, right? That's the 7 p.m.
I'd imagine that's going to be a
Big 10
night
network
game. I'd imagine that's a night game on Halloween night. That always kind of makes it actually more fun when you get a night game and you wear black on Halloween night.
I think there's
some good memories over the years. It is. He evidently has not learned his lesson. And I think the argument would be,
what's the lesson to
Chip?
Learn here?
Yes. That when you have a good thing, don't run away from it, because I know that he doesn't like recruiting, but also Ohio State recruits itself. Yeah. How much recruiting is Matt Patricia doing?
Well, I'm pretty sure that we tracked this when they hired him. He took that job because he actively didn't have to recruit.
Right, and they were just like, just come call plays. You're here. You're a known name in the football world.
Right.
Just pop into a meeting. That's all. You're not
when
the primary guy.
When we bring recruits on campus, we're trying to close deals.
Shake a
we
hand.
Got quarterbacks.
What are the chances that Ohio State's offense, based on the talent you're bringing in, is going to fall off and your job's going to be in jeopardy?
You're
making millions of dollars. You get to work with the best athletes in college football year in and year out. And what did you do? You win one title, your name is hot again, and after one season, you jump to the Raiders and Pete Carroll, and you got fired halfway through.
But he got the most money
I know.
Of any
it was
NFL
a massive offer.
Don't you have to take that?
I get it.
And he probably got bought out.
Now he's the offensive coordinator at Northwestern. Have fun calling plays with those two-star recruits, buddy, at Autzen Stadium on Halloween. A little bit different than having Jeremiah Smith in your offense.
I really believe, well, I have a bet on this, actually. Side note, Coug Ludes, one of our sales extraordinaires, we made a bet last year, the over-under of Washington, and we forgot what the number was. And I actually fall more in line with, I believe him over even myself, because I forgot. But I won the bet because Washington won 8 games. I think it was set at like 7.
Yeah,
he
set it at 7.5. They won 8.
So they won. So I won the bet. So we were thinking about a new bet this college football season. He doesn't want to do an over-under. He wants to do, he is so far out on the OC at Ohio State that he wants to say their offense is going to fall further than it played last year.
Arthur the Mustache Smith himself.
Big Nepo hire Arthur Smith. And we have bets on this. And my simple point is, I don't like Arthur Smith.
No.
But they have a second-year starting quarterback.
Yep.
Their running back room is loaded. They have Jeremiah Smith. They've got Chris Henry Jr. coming into the
campus.
The
wide receiver room will be loaded.
It's always
four
be
NFL players. I don't care who the names are that come and go.
So we're thinking about doing an over-under on statistics offensively for Ohio State, because I actually think they will be better on offense. And the whole point of me bringing that up is to just simply say, I hear what you're saying. I don't think they would have fallen off and he would have been recognized. You can't turn down the most money.
I mean, he got paid to not work anymore. I get that. My larger point is simply, you had a good thing going. You were making good money, and I get you're not
Does
wrong.
Does he have a bad thing here? What are their expectations? Win 6 games?
They're nothing, but if you don't have...
Their offense was one of the worst offenses I watched last year when they played Oregon.
Northwestern's offense was terrible.
They
didn't have a functional
awful.
Quarterback. Guess what? It's probably going to be again this year.
Maybe a little better. If they're statistically a little better, he's done his job. Am I wrong?
You're not technically wrong. I'm just talking about how, if you're at that stage of your career, would you rather call plays for Northwestern or Ohio State?
I think you can make an honest, solid argument, Dirt. He's had one of the more strange careers in college football history.
There's not a doubt about it. It's absolutely bonkers to go from nothing, small college East Coast.
New Hampshire?
An offensive coordinator hire that everybody in Eugene said, what?
Who?
Huh? To 2 years later, you're basically strong-arming the most popular head coach in Oregon history.
Yeah, you kind of pushed him out
of the way to become the next head coach because you were such a can't-miss prospect.
Yep.
You then had 4 years nearly dominating the sport, but not winning a title, but being one of the most dominant programs in all of college football, to then jump to the NFL for multiple stops and then finally find your way back to college football.
It's crazy.
After a head coaching stint at UCLA, which, by the way, you quit. Because you didn't want to recruit anymore, and they were going to the Big Ten, and you were like, nah, I don't want to do that. We're going to get our asses kicked. I'm going to go just call plays at Ohio State, to winning a national championship, to then going to the – I mean, it's just bonkers the road that he's gone down.
It's absolutely insane. You can't say that it's been a failure. It's a great career.
No, it's a great career.
But I also – it's odd.
There's a lot of what-ifs in there, though, I think. If I were him, there would be what-ifs.
If he didn't quit, he was going to get fired at UCLA.
Without a doubt.
So – Eagles, Niners. I mean, the Niner run is one of the worst one-season performances from a coach in NFL history.
Niners went back-to-back years having Chip Kelly and Jim Tomsula.
I mean, don't remind me. It was a terrible moment to be
after
living
Jim Harbaugh.
Didn't he win double digits, though, both years or 2 years in Philly? Like his
10
first
wins
two?
In Philadelphia and losing in the wild card for 1 year does not mean anything.
Well, I think the what-ifs of his...
Call that an abject
that's UCLA
failure.
Being 8-4.
I wouldn't say that's an abject failure. The failure in Philly was giving him control. Like, that's where they screwed up.
That's part of the failure.
Yeah. Oh, without
right?
a doubt. That's where things went
awry. They chose him over Roseman.
He was there for 3 years. He went 10-6, 10-6, and then 6-9, and he got fired after the third year.
And nobody liked him. He was a terrible player coach.
He was, players didn't like him. And that was the other part of the problem of giving him player controls. He was shipping guys out of town, and then it created animosity in the locker room.
Yeah.
I think the what-ifs of his career would have been, like, the sanction stuff and how that would have all broken, I don't know, in Eugene, if it would have been the same.
With the dead kid?
With the dead kid and the Willie Lyle stuff. Yeah. But there has to be a what-if in his mind of, like, man, what if I would have given that five more years. They went to a national championship 2 years after he left with Mark Helfrich as their head coach.
If he had Mariota
for three more years or two, it would have been two more years.
If he had peak Heisman Mariota, I do wonder. I also would say as soon as Mariota left, I would think he's falling flat on his face.
Yeah, but he also found Mariota as a three-star kid from Hawaii.
Did he?
I mean, I don't know who did, but they found him. Somebody inside the program did, and they decided to start him right away.
I know. But he didn't hang around. So we do a lot of hypotheticals. I just don't know what evidence. It's weird. I'd acknowledge how great he was out the gate and how much he changed the sport.
Right.
I also can't confidently tell you that if he chooses to stay at Oregon instead of leaving, he's winning a title. I can't say that confidently.
Well,
I don't
that's
have
not the argument. No, that's not the argument. It's just simply the what if he would have coached in the 2014 national title game. And I don't know if the game goes any differently, but I think he was a better play caller and head coach than Mark Helfrich was.
Yeah, I think the guy calling
and
plays
what is his legacy?
Not calling plays.
If he wins a national championship in 2014, what's his legacy?
Well, yeah,
totally different.
Ezekiel Elliott, though,
it got in his way.
Yeah,
well, not in his way. It got in Mark Helfrich's
way.
Yeah,
it's interesting, man. Funny, funny photo though. Yesterday, really enjoyed it. Check it out at Dirt and Sprague. Chip Kelly in a hard hat and a vest. He's at Northwestern. Loaded show today. A lot to discuss. We got sadder story. Lance Taylor. Next round live, Southern College football guy. He's going to join us coming up. Talk a little SEC and college football with him at 8 a.m. Dirt and Sprague Loaded Show. We start next on The Fan. Happy anniversary to us at The Fan. Thank you guys for making the switch over. I know some of you have told us through the last calendar year you stick with the AM dial. I appreciate that.
You're an OG, man.
You're an OG, and you will forever stay an OG. But for those that have made the switch to 105.1, The Fan, for all the beautiful mothers out in the battleground area that have decided to push through and say, you know what, I don't get Avril Lavigne anymore, but I can stand these people.
We
Thank
love
you.
You, hot battleground moms. We love you.
We do. Poll question is up. It's a hot take poll question. We're starting the show off with a hot take.
Ooh.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Hot take time.
Yes.
Do the Oregon Ducks win the 2014 national championship if Chip Kelly is the head coach Ooh. Instead of Mark Helfrich?
Ooh. Yeah, why not? What the hell? I think 2013 would have gone significantly different, too. Because 2013, if you remember, they started 8-0.
As a Fiesta Bowl?
No, 2013 was the Alamo Bowl.
That's
so they were 9-0,
right.
I want to say, right. and went down to Stanford and lost. And that's when DeAnthony Thomas said, we don't want to go to the Rose Bowl. We've already done that and won that.
That's right.
And then the next week, they quit and went to Arizona and just got their teeth absolutely
that.
Kicked in. And then the Civil War was the highlighter Civil War that they probably should have lost at home. But they found a way to win.
End, right?
Huff caught the game-winning
yes.
touchdown, and they went 10-2. And I believe they beat Texas in the Alamo Bowl, if my memory serves me correct.
That was a great Civil War, by the way.
It was an all-time Civil War. It was rainy. It was cold. Orange versus green and yellow. It was great. You know, colors everywhere. I think that season would have ended differently, too.
I just saw Adam Rittenberg's tweet. You know how this stuff works. You talk about it. The internet listens. It
yes,
shows you.
Your computer hears you.
He literally just popped up on the timeline. I just now see this. This is unbelievable. How does this team have this field?
The stadium?
This is debatably the nicest
That's what I'm saying.
Stadium.
It looks like somebody was saying yesterday, it looks like a new Premier League stadium, and it's for
Unreal.
Northwestern football. It's bonkers.
It's going to be 60% empty right. most of the time.
You can expect somebody like SMU builds a new stadium, and you're
I
like,
get it.
All right,
oil
money.
Yeah.
Okay, Texas Tech wants to build an entirely new stadium.
These are all good teams
yes,
you're naming.
Yes, these make sense. You're Northwestern, man. Mm. You're Northwestern. Mm-hmm. Good for concerts, I guess.
We'll get to the Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. There's quite a bit of audio to get to today. We got Lance Taylor coming up at 8 a.m., and it is a Statter Story Wednesday. I didn't have yesterday when I was sitting down and I was jotting some notes. I did not have the segment at 6:27 to be this, but I have to discuss this. Every so often this happens and you forget about it and then it happens again and you're reminded. Did you see what happened to this Vegas A's player, Joshua Carota Guerriere?
I did.
So he's a good player. He hit himself in the ball.
A foul ball
yeah. in the ball, and he ruptured his testicle.
Ouch. Ouch.
And I'm asking legitimately.
What does that feel like?
I can't imagine dirt. It feels great.
Is that like immovable pain? Is that
so? Somebody pointed this out.
Like, what are we talking about?
I'm going to look this up.
Okay.
Somebody said, and I don't know if this is true, so don't hold me to it until I find out. Somebody said he stayed in the game and hit a single later.
Are you kidding me?
But now he's on the 10-day IL because he has to have surgery to fix his ruptured testicle.
Yeah, how do you? That's. I got a lot of follow up questions here. Like, what happens when it ruptures? Where does it all just float around in the sack? Does it go anywhere? What does that even mean, Basil? I'm very confused.
Well, if you see the replay.
Oh, I've seen the replay. It's brutal.
Whoa.
To stay in the game after that, though, can we give this guy some sort of like Iron Man award? Is there an award? Award for
we
the toughest guy of
should.
Them. Can we just create the ruptured testicle award and give it to this guy?
I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
And give it to the heart, you know, the toughest player in Major League Baseball year in and year out. Like, are we talking debilitating pain for days on end? Are we talking it's, you know, five times the amount of getting a swift kick in the balls that hurts like a hell, but then eventually the pain goes away and you feel like you can feel your stomach again?
His average is .417, by the way.
Oh, he's good then.
I think he just came up.
Okay. Because
he doesn't have a lot of game logs unless
Young
he was
cat.
Injured.
Welcome to the big leagues, buddy. Here's a ruptured testicle.
But,
ow.
He was 2-for-3 in his 3 at-bats. Scored a run.
Has anybody out there ruptured a testicle?
Oh.
I want to know. Can we get boots on the ground for the pain that comes with rupturing a testicle?
There are worse injuries.
Oh, without a doubt.
By like a missing games wise,
yeah.
You know, metric, but there's not a worse sounding injury.
No, man.
It's not remarkably close.
You just picture like, you're squishing a blueberry or something. Like, what? How do you even repair it? How do you rebuild a ruptured testicle?
I don't know.
I want to talk to the surgeons. Let's get them on the show.
I've been hit in that area. I think a lot of people have.
Yes, everybody has.
Like the minute when it feels like it's in the stomach is bad enough. I can't imagine to know what it feels like when it feels like it exploded.
The entire thing just popped. Like a balloon. Good luck with that, man.
10 days.
I will tell you, what that's
10-day IL.
I would hope it's longer than that, buddy. Take your time getting back, okay? Those guys matter, and they're going to matter for your entire life. Let's get that ball healthy and ready to roll again before we hit the diamond. I'm assuming he's not a catcher, so I'm wondering if he'll switch to a cup for a while.
No, he is a third baseman.
Third baseman.
Well, he's a third, second, and shortstop.
He's an infielder. Wearing a cup sucks. Playing baseball in a cup's not comfortable. It was one of the worst parts about being a catcher in baseball is I hated wearing a cup, but you didn't really have any choice. Can we give this guy a PSA of like, man, you get a hard line drive at third base or a short one hopper that's on the edge of the grass? Can we please wear a cup when we're vacuuming up those ground balls in the infield?
But see, like, I don't. What are the odds of that happening again to you?
I don't want to try and test it. I don't care. I'm not willing to roll the dice on that, man. You rupture a testicle, you could not buy enough protective gear for me to play Major League
Baseball.
Yes. What if you get hit again? I don't care what the odds are. What happens?
The math has got to be heavily in your favor. It won't happen.
If you rupture a testicle once, repair it,
uh-huh.
and then it gets ruptured again.
Would you wear a cup?
Can that ball come back to life? How many lives does your ball have? If you rupture it twice in a month, can you even repair it? Is it just squish? It's just jello at that point.
I'm going to put a poll question up. If you ruptured your testicle, would you wear a cup forever after? Because I wouldn't.
I would for everywhere I walk in life, man. I need one around the house with the 2-year-old. We're all into wrestling, and he's climbing on top of me. I'm getting kicked in the nuts 3 times a day at minimum. And every single time, I wince, and then he's, you know, wants to know about balls and where are balls, because I say you kicked me in the balls, and now we got to answer questions about balls.
I just... There's no other injury that comps in these other sports.
No.
Actually, I would say this. I am surprised this doesn't happen more in football. Because they're not wearing cups, and they're stepping on each other, and they're falling in the off. Like, when there's a fumble.
You could get a knee to the groin.
You're telling
me
there's not a guy that's on a leg, and then somebody jumps on him, and now he's leaning on a cleat, and like,
right.
There it is?
Right.
That's crazy.
Somebody's saying Mitch Haniger had the same injury. And
I think that's who it was, yeah.
10 weeks in 2022.
10 weeks?
10-day IL? Get the hell out of here,
Hold
dude.
On.
You're having ball surgery. You're not playing in a week and a half.
Let me look it up.
That is not happening, man.
He was placed on the 10-day injured list.
Yeah.
He underwent successful
now,
surgery for this.
Here's what I will say. I think they're always tricky with that of the 10-day, because there's the 10-day and the 60-day. And if you go to 60 days, you have to clear the roster. Like, you can't come off of that. So a lot of teams, even if it's a longer injury, will just do 10-day.
So you just extend it. Because
you don't know if he's going to fully need the 60-day IL, and so maybe it's a 40-day IL, and that's, you know, you didn't want to miss out on 20 days or however many games are in that stretch.
Yeah.
There's no chance this guy's playing in a week and a half, dude. There's no chance. If he does, give him the Medal of Honor. Like, if he's playing in 10 days, what is the highest you know, achievement that you can have, the Medal of Freedom or whatever. Like, give him something like that if you ruptured his testicle and plays 10 days later.
That's another – I mean, I'm not going to post it. That's a great poll question. If you play 10 days after rupturing your testicle,
yes, you deserve
you get,
something.
Like, the Presidential Medal of Freedom?
You should have a street named after you in Las Vegas. If that's what it's going to be, if you're going to fight through that in 10 days, man. Are the A's in the mix this year?
They've been battling with the Mariners, haven't they?
I'll take your word for it.
I think everybody's in the mix in
the
AL
that
West.
Division sucks.
Fair point. They are 43-58, and they're only eight games out of first place.
Yeah.
They're 15 games below.
They're 7.5 back of the M's. They're not in contention. I feel like at some point they were in good contention, and then it just kind of fell because of the A's.
Yeah, this guy's hanging you on, man. He's keeping you alive with his ruptured ball out there.
The poll question is up, by the way. If you ruptured your testicle, would you wear a cup the rest of your career?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Swag, what say you? Yes? You wearing a cup?
Yeah.
So you got the PTSD from it?
Yeah.
I think I'm playing the math.
Playing the math, playing
it
the
was,
odds?
Dude, there was nothing worse for us as kids, and I know Swag had this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there's not a more embarrassing look for a child than having to wear the cup.
Yeah, it's
like
not
before
fun.
You put your pants on.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's just an assless piece of underwear that covers your front side.
Thankfully, sliding shorts came about later, and you could wear them as like a compression short
I missed that era.
The jock strap cup was
who awful.
The jock strap is one of the most ridiculous things ever invented.
It had to be a perverted pedophile.
Yeah,
I mean, it had
dude.
To be.
Let me see them cheeks.
No.
Dude, you weirdo, no.
It's easy for me to say this not having experienced the injury, but I don't blame you guys for saying yes on that.
Cover that thing up, man.
Coming up next, we'll get to our Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague today, but coming up next, a little bit of local news, maybe not in the favor of this individual, next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you, a loaded Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague at the top of the 7 a.m. hour. Status story today, Lance Taylor talks some college football, one of our good friends in the South. I think we made another great friend in college football for the program.
We hit it off. I like it. We got another contact down there in SEC country.
Really good dude. Pretty honest opinions. We'll run down the full gamut of college football coming up at 8:03 a.m.
Somebody naming, by the way, the award, the Nutcracker Award is what he should get. That's Nutcracker. Pretty solid.
That's a pretty good one.
A good Nutcracker.
And somebody say that they, back in their cattling days, they got kicked in the you-know-what by a bull.
Uh-huh.
And 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Huh? That's all it was? 2 weeks.
Got a bruised and a ruptured one, and it was a two-week recovery.
We did get, I'm 40 and I get PTSD in softball when a ground ball comes my way after being a catcher from second grade through high school. Still wear a soft cup, even in beer league softball.
Really?
Yeah. When you've caught, it's a different. It's
I've
a
never
different
caught.
World.
I've never caught.
My practices in baseball used to be lining up the pitching machine at 90 miles an hour, just shooting balls at me, and a lot of them hit you in the nuts, but hits you in the cup. And let me tell you, the cup it protects, but it doesn't protect everything. It still hurts.
It can still hurt. Before we get to Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, did you see the local news yesterday?
Oh God, not again! What happened?
What?
What?
You don't even know what I'm going to say.
I thought we had an embargo. We had an embargo.
I'm not talking about Moda Center funding.
Okay. What else we got in the local news?
Dom Dunnan's firing all our broadcasters. And I don't say that like laughing at them.
No.
I'm just laughing at like
another thing
can point to of like, yay.
Ironically, this is probably the most obvious one to have predicted because this is what he did day one in Carolina that made everybody hate him down there. They had a Hall of Fame radio announcer who had been calling Hurricane games forever since the team moved, essentially. And he fired him upon arrival. And John Forslund was one of the most respected local TV guys And he canned him because he made too much money, and every Hurricane fan was up in arms about it and livid because those guys were institutions in that market calling those games. And so of all the negative Tom Dundon storylines, a shakeup of the broadcast was the easiest one to predict.
Well, we talked about this. I think it was a show you were out. I talked about him cutting
radio, yeah,
radio and simulcasting in Carolina. And I totally get it, man. I know it's 2026. I will forever be a radio guy. It's my career. It's why I love radio. I always have. I always will.
Yeah.
I made the argument like how awful that would be for us as a city because of how iconic the radio has been for the Blazers.
Sean Lee, Wheels.
I'm also friends with the play-by-play guy. I don't want to see that happen to anybody.
Right. Now, the story that came out yesterday that I think he has not been decided. Some people were let go officially, according to, I think, Maury Brown had the report.
I have heard, I don't know, I have not reached out. I'm not speaking on behalf of, I'm just, what I had heard is, like, there's probably going to be some pay structure stuff, and it's a take it or leave it thing. I don't know if that's true. I have not reached out to anybody. But the news that I'm talking about was Maury Brown, Bizball Maury.
Yeah.
Great handle.
Great handle.
He works for Forbes. He had the news. Major changes coming to Blazer Broadcasting. Michael Holton, Tom Haverstraw, Neil Everett, and Jamie Hudson all out. And then he said several other broadcasters' contracts have lapsed with extreme pay cuts being expected.
Yeah, I would be at this point. I mean, there's no intel here. I don't think there's any chance Kevin Calabro is calling Blazer games next year. I don't see
for
him
the
taking
amount
a,
he would normally ask for.
Right,
no,
there's
I
no
can't
chance.
Fathom that, no.
And I don't see him wanting to take a pay cut. He's a Seattle guy, anyways. I was following some folks up, and he was playing in a golf tournament up in Seattle this week.
He lives in Seattle.
He's waiting for.
I
the Sonics
felt like
game.
He's had one foot out the door for. A
I mean,
couple
he literally
of
left the team for like 2.5 years during COVID and stopped calling games, and we had Jordan Ken as our play-by-play
guy.
Was
it 2.5 or 1 year?
Maybe it was just one.
I
don't know. Maybe it was one season. Yeah. But he bailed. He was like, nah, I'm not doing that. Jordan Ken
was
the guy.
Was that a COVID thing, or was he not wanting to do the job thing? Because I think for some that was a COVID thing.
Maybe it was a COVID thing. And then they kind of gave Jordan Kent the runaround, and he thought he had the job, and he was found out that he did not have the job in a not very tactful way. So, look, this has been a kind of a revolving chair a little bit lately. I would be shocked if he's back next year. I hope Demers is back in some capacity as the radio guy, or maybe a TV play-by-play guy or a simulcast guy. I don't know how that's all going to shake out.
I told Demers, I told him this like, it might have been 2 seasons ago. I was watching one of their East Coast games and he was filling in because
he did some TV from time to time. Yeah.
I didn't know if it made him feel good or not, but like I texted him. I told him I thought he was a better TV play-by-play guy than radio.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean that as a slight at his radio ability. It was more just like I thought his timing and rhythm was like perfect for television. He had the right enthusiasm on the right plays. He had called everything really well. So I told him that. So I don't know if that is how they're all going to sort some of that stuff out by simulcasting. But, you know, names that we've seen and watched for Michael Holton, I feel like he's been the broadcast.
Forever.
Probably before you and I started doing the show.
I feel like he's been doing it for 30 years.
You know?
I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I feel like he's been involved in Blazer broadcasting.
Like a good neighbor, Michael Holton is there.
He is there. What did they win? A ball game. Thank you, Michael Holton. Isaac and Sukat, Jason Quick on last night. It was a good conversation about just where we're at. He's been in the market a long time. We had him on a couple of weeks ago. But there's obviously been new rumblings and rumors and stories coming out about where the arena stuff is at. And they asked him a question of, is Tom Dundon the number one biggest villain in Blazers history already, 4 months into his ownership? And there was a conclusion that was yes, and that's where I do find this upcoming season so fascinating, because almost every headline has been negative. Now, some we have reacted to, I think, fairly. Some, I think, have been overblown and blown out of proportion. Right? There's a balance here, but every time something happens with the team, it is massive news.
Yeah.
How quickly does that go away if they have a good year next year? How much does it escalate if they have a bad year next year? Like, this is where I go back to, and I brought up when you mentioned that these changes are coming. He did this in Carolina, and Carolina fans were livid. They thought he was going to move the team. That didn't end up happening, and he fired their broadcasters. And it was like, who the hell is this guy coming in, getting rid of our guys that have been calling our games forever?
Broadcasters are a really personal thing for
They're
people.
A part of your family, essentially. Yeah. You welcome them into your home or your car every single day and every single night. And so the fans did not take kindly to that. Guess what they forgot about after about a year and a half? That. And they've now created.
Did they, or did they just say, we're winning, but this still sucks? Like, I kind of wonder with
I think
him,
they've all created new relationships. The broadcasters that they've had now, they've had for a long time. He's not like firing guys every other year to find a college kid that'll do the job for minimum wage. The guys who he replaced them with have been there for quite some time, so they built that rapport up with them. And then, yeah, going to the playoffs every year, it didn't matter as much to them anymore.
Well, I think that's the thing. Like, I remember when we did our very first morning show, We had somebody that basically reached out and was like, I hate you guys. You're terrible. You suck. They're a P1.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and that's not that everybody is going to be that. Like, people are always going to hate you. That's fine. It's more to me like, I wonder with him, and now we're going through this funding crap that I don't want to talk about today. I just wonder, I don't think they're going to way overachieve.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be somewhere where they were last year, and I don't view that as like a step forward. I view that as like, okay, you didn't really do the thing I thought you would do. Now, maybe Ja will play well, but if you finish in the same spot, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, that was utterly amazing.
Right. Don't worry. The move's coming at the deadline. Don't worry.
The next deadline. That's deadline. That's when Joe will operate.
Deadline, all in.
That's when Joe will cook. He traded for Ja Morant. He thinks he's cooking. Yeah, that's his move.
That's his ingredient right there.
I think there's a real possibility, unless his tune changes over the years. Remember, Chip Alexander said this. He didn't care about Raleigh when he came here. He wasn't there to make friends.
No.
Well, he slowly put himself in the community a little bit. It's not like he's Mr. Community of Raleigh, but like he's been a little more hands-on and involved. I just wonder if over time, we're getting through a funding debate, we get 5 years down the road, he helps build up some of the district or the Albina vision, like he does in some capacity. I just wonder, like, how the relationship
it's very interesting to
is
going to
go. Because right now, it's not even a question. He is absolutely loathed and hated right
more
now.
More than anybody probably
by
ever
the media
associated.
And largely the fans.
Yes, more than anybody ever associated with the organization. And that's saying a lot, because we've hated a lot of people over the years.
Reuben Patterson was a Blazer. We can't say that.
Yeah, touche. Yeah, you know, some bridges are too far.
Yeah, that I would say so.
That one should be one of them. It is crazy to think of where we're going to go, and if the reputation will ever change, will we have the same storyline as Carolina, where in 3 or 4 years you go into the playoffs every year, you feel like a relevant team, you've gotten better, some of this stuff that was big noise early on kind of quiets a little bit. It just there's no doubt that every time you turn around a corner, it feels like there's another headline or report coming out about what he is doing that is making fans absolutely livid.
Yeah, I'm trying to go through this because I saw it yesterday and I forgot to write it down of who else.
So it was, so I know, producers. Havistro's gone, Neil Everett's gone, Jamie Hudson's gone, Michael Holton is gone.
Yeah, this says Demers remains unclear on the radio side. They could use him for radio simulcast.
Yes, they might be doing that.
That's an odd... Do we have any news on Lamar?
There is no news on Lamar.
What about Brooke?
No news on Brooke. She was doing something on Instagram yesterday, Blazer related, I thought. So I hope Brooke sticks around. I hope Lamar. I love both of them. I think they're great at their jobs, and that would be one that really upset me. We know Demers, so I want him to hold on to his job. So
yeah.
you hope you can keep it intact as much as you can.
More bad news from old Tommy D. Tommy Two Nickels, finding every cent he can to save. Loaded second hour, Dirt and Sprague Cafe, Day Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.